Everybody, and welcome to TYH, a non-violent podcast dedicated to youth issues. My name is Anglo, and with me I have Nike.
This is the podcast of peace.
And we have a new guest, Null. Say hello. Nothing.
Hello. I'm the replacement Australian.
New Brad, how are you doing?
That's doing all right here.
No, that's good. Yeah, we need an Aussie voice. It just balances things, you know?
There's too many Americans on the podcast. I'm here to take over.
Yeah.
The American Imperial Podcast Hegemony has come to an end.
Yeah.
We've intersectionality saves the day.
Yeah, I thought your podcast was a bit... There's too many white Americans on there. You need some intersectionality.
I need some abos here and there. But let's just get a general overview of you, Noel. So how did you get red-pilled?
Well, for a while, I don't remember ever getting explicitly political, supporting a particular party.
It was just there.
As I was saying, I was not really very political. So I knew of the two major Australian parties where it's kind of similar to America. It's the vaguely right and then the actually left. And then there's the fringe extra ones, but I know I didn't really support either. I was kind of probably what I call a minarchist. I didn't want to be I even back then I saw full no government libertarianism as just kind of retarded, but more just because I thought that something was going to come out of it, some kind of government to be formed anyway.
Yeah.
But, so were you, was this early enough to have ridden the Ron Paul wave, or was this more Austin Peterson minarchy?
I was too young to know, or too young and didn't care about politics enough to know that much about the 08 one, but I kind of followed, I knew of the Ron Paul 2012 stuff.
Well, that was when things got serious on the internet. 2008 Ron Paul was, sort of there are people who liked him, but that was still mostly communicated IRL. You know, maybe some Facebook interaction here and there, but it wasn't until the 2012 election where Ron Paul became a meme, qua meme.
Yeah.
America.
I remember there's other stuff that goes into it, but the main red pill line was I'm not really political in either way. Then my friend thinks it's a funny idea and shows me this 4chan website, and so it was probably year 7 or whatever. And
okay.
Seven
AD, year 7?
Yes. Yeah, 7 AD. It was Grug Brain.
Yeah.
But it starts off with the shit posting on B, and I remember the specific moment where I discovered Paul was because it was in a /B/ you laugh you lose thread where someone put a green text about a street shitting Indian. I saw in the top part, what's this Paul thing? Oh, I'll check this out. And then wow, they really don't like black people here. Wow.
Wow, street shitter. I can't think of that aligning with the same year that I found Paul, because I started browsing websites 4chan in the 7th grade as well. But
that's why it was only mentally messed up, our generation.
Probably, but in a good way.
yeah, of course.
It was only a few years after I had started browsing 4chan that that they made a politics board, and
so you're a real OG, man.
There was the real OGs were posting about politics back when they had the news board.
Oh, okay.
But They later took that down because of Stormfront raids, like Stormfront posters, like intentionally brigading the board. Oh, okay. But then, you know, years later, Moot decides to come out with Poll, politically incorrect. And I'm like, oh, yes, finally, a board I can specifically shitpost about politics on. Because, you know, the board I would always post on was B, because that was I don't like any of the niche interests on 4chan. I just like the good content.
You like the good content, so you go to B. I don't follow.
Come on, best content. That is where content is created. That is the forge of the internet. But as I was saying, they make Poll, and I'm like, all right, we got a politics board, and then, boy, was I in for quite a ride. That came out.
Did someone link like TRS or I don't know Daily Storm on there?
I can't actually remember how it works because I went like through the Red Pill like system or whatever, pretty much like with a friend. So like both of us, like I can't remember whether he or I discovered the like TRS and their podcast and stuff. But apparently, according to him, I somehow found it and then I sent, here's this like funny podcast, right? Have a listen to this. And he thought it was good. And I know we were listening to that for a while. And then there was other stuff that came out and I started listening to more and more. And
well, that's really cool that you went through it with a friend. Cause I discovered this stuff alone.
Yeah. He was the one that like, showed me 4chan as well. So I think he's, we were both just like shit posting together. And then,
yeah, he's the,
is this like funny podcast.
He's the start of it all. That's how a good friend could do a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to like believe what you're like thinking is true if you know someone that like also like you don't think that you're crazy if you know someone else that's thinking the same way and you can like, have a conversation with them.
I had 3 years where since I discovered these things on my own, and this was before like TRS was a thing. I just kept it to myself, and there was this sense like, uh-oh, you know, don't let this leak out. And I was even trying to convince myself not to believe these things.
Really?
It was really weird. I actually discovered it wasn't Poll or anything. It was David Duke videos.
Huh.
I used to listen to that when I did algebra homework. So. And then you have recommended videos, and it's like David
Irving. Lo-fi hip-hop David Duke to study.
Dude.
Now yeah. I've got to do that. I'm going to make like a 24-hour loop so I can just live stream constantly on YouTube.
Yeah, lo-fi hip-hop. That's for you youngins, man. I don't get into that. I'm more about lo-fi house. But yeah, well, that's cool. So was TDS the first podcast?
Yeah, I kind of remember now. It was I did someone like some Facebook page shared a Merchant Minute clip. Mm. Like they got a video, and it was either a Merchant Minute clip or it was one of Meraki's songs, something like that. But I checked the video, YouTube video, and in the link, so this is part of a Daily Shower episode like 43 or something like that.
Yeah.
I'll check this out and. At the time, I had like 5 or 6 podcasts that I was listening to. So I'll add another one, and then I listen to that one more, and then they mention another podcast on it, and I'll add that one, and then slowly, like the non our guy podcasts get filtered out, and more come in, and
because I had to, we're on the top of the list eventually.
Yeah, it also helped that like I had to take like an hour bus to and from school each day.
Jeez, so I had a, like hour long bus ride.
But he does. Well,
it's not that like my school is particularly far away. It's more like the bus system is just really bad.
Yeah, that
it's very windy. Like it'll get to my suburb in like I don't know maybe half an hour something like that. But then it just winds around all of the streets before finally getting to mine.
Yeah, that's
isn't there a meme about Abbos on the bus?
Not on the school bus.
Oh, they don't.
That's why
you'll
I
never,
only
you'll never
only
find them
like
on the school bus.
School ones. No, there are some Aboriginal friends that are on the buses. It's a lot more like they'll be on trains, but like it's mostly more like outside the trains, like in the station. They'll be sitting there with. Sometimes they'll be trying to play an instrument, or they'll just be sitting there and like asking the white fellas for $1 for the bus.
I can't do that.
That was impressive.
Thank you.
I don't know how he does that. I can't.
It's because I actually have a feature.
It's because he's actually black.
And I'm also a nigger. That's why.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Well, but the bus system here in the U.S. is pretty much hopeless. I think it's probably worse here.
Oh, God, yeah, no.
Because no one uses public... I've never used it, but whenever I do and I have to, it's not a fun experience. And it's kind of the same situation where they'll take really weird routes, you know, because they have all these bus stops they have to reach. But it's mostly homeless people or people... on drugs in the U.S.
I have never taken a public bus in the United States before. You know, the trains are fine.
Yeah, trains are good, actually.
Well, they're not good. It's not like I'm going to act like the metro is any fun experience. But, you know, it works and you won't get robbed on it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The trains are, it's like, you know, you'll get on and then get off like relatively quickly. Usually not on the train for like very long unless you're going big cities.
I think that's an important key point trains get to like your destination a lot faster than a bus would, because buses, you know, they have to take more stops. More people can get on and off them. You know, I could take a train and, you know, the next stop is my destination, or maybe I only have to wait for two or three stops and I can get to my destination. Whereas like a bus, forget it. You'll be on there. If you've ever looked at the bus routes, you can tell that they're bad. Like I said, I've never been on them myself, but
dang, never even once.
I've just seen the bus routes to like try to weigh my options if it would be convenient at all.
But it's not.
And it's just not worth it. Why the hell would I subject myself to like
literal,
you know, 30 minutes of this every day or, you know, regularly? I just don't want
that. You need to get your cultural exposure. That's how you can, if you're on the bus and you can, you know, ask the black fella sitting next to you if he's got a SoundCloud, and then you can find the next aspiring rappers.
Yeah, no, I don't have to ask. I don't have to ask anybody.
Triple X Tentacion.
Triple extension.
Find a new Triple X. You're on my bus. When I was on the bus a few weeks ago, there's like this 12-year-old Mexican kid with a XXX Tentacion shirt. That made me laugh.
I haven't seen any 12-year-olds with that. I've seen a lot of ones with Fortnite shirts, but
no, I see like I have like a little cousin that likes XXX Tentacion. He's like 10. but he's not raised very well, let's just say that.
I imagined if he's listening to
dead nigger.
If he's listening to dead niggas, yeah.
At least listen to someone alive. Like, that's spooky.
Yeah, it is kind of funny that he's just dead now.
It's weird.
He got, like, a good maybe 3 years max of, like people knowing about him. And then he's just dead because some person shot him in Florida.
Yeah, just Florida, man.
Did they? I don't think they ever caught anybody for that.
No, they did. It was just some fella, some black guy.
Just some dude.
I can't even remember what it was about. I just like saw like a news article like U.S. rapper shot dead. Oh, okay.
So just Florida man comes on the scene and just shoots into his car multiple times.
I forgot the reason why
he is.
Well, no, I think they knew who he was. They knew who he was, but I don't know.
Oh my god.
They shot him because they're racist and he's black. That's why. Yeah. It was profiling.
No, he was light-skinned and they were dark-skinned, and so they're very upset.
Yeah, dark-skinned fans of George Zimmerman.
Yeah. Well, because X got that kind of light-skinned vibe a little bit, you know?
Well, not anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he's got like the green skin vibe.
The skeleton vibe. I say it's been a few years, so it's like a skeleton now. But yeah, do you have anything interesting, Nika, that you want to talk about? I know you have some articles.
Yeah, we got some interesting ones. Let's mild things. Well, which one do you want to start with?
I want to start with Islamic. This is from Campus Reform. Islamic Studies Center pays a price after hosting anti-Semitic rapper. I wonder who this guy is. What do you guys think, Moon Man?
There's like broad movement under campus and.
Yeah.
Place in like, I don't know, notorious KKK, whatever.
Yeah.
Moon Man is not anti-Semitic nor racist. I don't know what you're talking about. Moon Man is in complete accordance with the YouTube terms of service, so...
Yeah.
I don't know what... He could have anything to do with anti-Semitism.
It's just anti-Moonism. Anti-Lunarism.
Yeah, anti-Lunarism.
Yeah, they're just deleting all his videos for no reason.
Anti-Lumitic.
Yeah,
they're deleting all the videos because that, like, YouTube is fully woke, and they actually know that the moon is fake. So that's why they're going to delete the videos.
You can't.
Well, perhaps the moon was made up by Muhammad, which is a Muhammadan is one way you could describe this rapper. So, sponsors for a conference hosted by the University of North Carolina Center for Middle East and Islamic Studies are requesting their money back after a performer displayed an act which some perceived as quote-unquote anti-Semitic. The quote, conflict over Gaza conference took a turn when rapper Damir Nafar used what many characterized as anti-Semitic language on stage. Any guesses what that could be?
I don't know. Sing the lyrics, man, or his preamble, whatever.
Well, here's a direct quote. Let us try it together. I need your help. I cannot be anti-Semitic alone. Nafar said before singing, don't think of Rihanna when you sing this. Don't think of Beyonce. Think of Mel Gibson.
Really, you're the guy.
I'm in love with a Jew. Oh, I fell in love with a Jew. Oh, her skin is white, my skin is brown. She was going up and I was going down. Context of the song Nafar was singing at the time, however, paints a fuller picture of how the concert led to the remark. The song titled Mama, I Fell in Love with a Jew tells the story of a Palestinian man wrestling with the fact that he has fallen in love with a Jewish woman because of the ongoing culture clash between the two people groups.
People groups?
So it's just a song about fucking Kazar Milkers then.
Yeah.
That's literally what it's
about.
You saw
some Abigail Shapiro Milkers on the timeline and...
It's like, oh, gotta give me dead.
A little bit flustered.
Yeah. Gives me dead.
I like how they say two people groups. That seems that's very weird wording.
What kind of distinction do you mean by people groups? I mean, I know
there is one people group, the human people group.
Exactly. I know in his anti-Semitic song, he distinguishes by skin color, but is that define a people group? Certainly not.
Yeah. Well,
let's see. I'm going to skip the other in betweens and go to more direct quotes. We have, as I have indicated to both of you, either live or in voicemails over the past several days, I have received a torrent of emails from students, faculty and alumni of the School of Law expressing anger and dismay of the deepest kind at the clear anti-Semitic programming that took place during the Center of Middle East and Islamic Studies' recent conference over the conflict over Gaza, people, politics, and possibilities. Brinkley, who is the law dean. The UNC school government dean, Mike Smith, sent a letter strongly condemning the response to the rapper. Quote, I don't know what happened during the other sessions, but the musical performance by Palestinian rapper was plainly and disturbingly anti-Semitic, Smith wrote. You promised to feature a music that would showcase the beauty of the Gaza Strip, and when, like, we need to be especially sensitive to the promoting of a more inclusive environment at Carolina? I thought this was California. UNC. Yeah. I'm silly. I just assume it's in California, so that's why I did accent.
I mean,
wow, how far the Carolinas have fallen.
I mean, anti-Semitism is a beauty of the Gaza Strip. I mean, I don't know what he's talking about.
The most beautiful thing about them, you might say.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it also said that the mood of the audience was celebratory after the rapper's remarks.
Yeah, they just enjoyed that. He just enjoyed his sick beats. Yeah. They also have fallen in love with the Kazar Milka.
Yeah. Well, the song is like not anti-Semitic, really.
It is anti-Semitic when you think about it, because anything that harms the purity of the Jewish race is anti-Semitism, which, you know, is why this article exists.
What I'm thinking is that he's kind of playing with the term anti-Semitism or anti-Semitic, you know.
Why don't you explain?
He's like, since people consider us anti-Semitic, let's just pretend we are. I don't know.
I don't know whether he's like smart enough to do that. I think he was just like...
No. Yeah, we're talking about a Palestinian rapper, God's
okay.
sake.
Okay.
He's like rapping about some tits.
Yeah, that's literally
what he's rapping about fucking Jewish girls.
How does Mike Smith feel when he's, silencing Palestinian POC voices?
He probably feels like a guy who's just become $100,000 richer.
The guy with, like, the most Anglo-Saxon name, white privilege name ever. Idiot, you know.
The goodest of Goyim.
Yeah.
It's good to see, like, where the totem pole stacks up, where... You get the Palestinian rapper making his like special music that can't be at the top. You have to have the special tribe at the top.
Oh, of course. Yeah, this pyramid only has one cap. An all-seeing eye of Mossad.
Oh. Hey, it's on our dollar bill, man.
Yes, they tell you it's the all-seeing eye of God, but that God is Israel.
That God is Moloch.
Exactly. And who can see better than owls?
What does owls have to do?
Isn't Moloch an owl?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know this esoteric stuff.
I haven't studied the Torah enough.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? The Jews actually, when they talk about the Torah, they're not talking about the Old Testament necessarily. They also consider the Talmud to be the Torah in a way. So
really?
Yeah. So when they say, study the Torah, it's more like, they're not literally studying the Old Testament. They're like studying the Talmud. There's different types of Torah, and there's the oral Torah, which is what the Talmud is.
Isn't that what they do, like when the baby boy is born? The oral Torah.
Yeah, that's so bad.
There's some oral Torah.
It's like they tore off his foreskin with their teeth.
Torah. Pro-Israel groups also weighed in the controversy. Some gal named Jennifer Kuttner, almost Kushner, but Kuttner, while some claim the song was meant to be in jest, there's nothing funny about anti-Semitism.
There's nothing funny about fantasizing over my milk.
Yeah, we demand the... We are encouraged by the strong response from the UNC administration and the conference sponsors who have demanded their money back, and we commend Congressman George Holding for requesting an investigation into this taxpayer-funded event. What about taxpayer-funded terrorism that Israel does?
Oh, no, they'll tell you the only state sponsor of terror is Iran.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the only...
And, you know, second to Iran is North Korea, second biggest state sponsor.
Yeah.
What was the last
really
time?
Really got to watch out for, like, those North Korean terrorists that are just, like, attacking everyone.
Yeah, the North Korean terrorists that'll, like, drive a car into your Christmas shopping mart.
Yeah, the North Korean terrorists that will, you know, fly
Yeah, remember that time when
building?
The North Korean terrorists, like, they hijacked a plane?
No, it was a hologram. They hijacked a hologram.
Yeah, they Who do you think designed the holograms? North Korea.
North Korean graphic designers.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, who do you think burned down the cathedral in Paris?
North Koreans, because they're communists.
Exactly. North Korean godless communists just trying to destroy our culture.
When in reality, they're based Juche-ists.
Sponsored by the state of North Korea itself.
What is number three, like Assad? And
yeah, probably.
Syria.
It's probably just America secretly.
Yeah. Well, number one is America for sure.
I mean, like if you're like in Israel and you ask for like the top three state sponsors of terror, like if you're not Israeli, they'll tell you about Iran and North Korea. But like if you are Israeli, they'll say like, oh, America number three.
They'll probably just say America number one because they're only getting like $38 billion a year. They need more.
This is terrorism against Israel, you know. Only giving $38 billion is tantamount
to
genocide, really.
That's the most, you know, horrendous
anti-Semitic amount of financial aid you can give.
Jeez. Imagine complaining about getting millions and millions.
Literal of billions of dollars.
Yeah. Like you're Dr. Evil, man.
Like, imagine if the Israeli election honestly came down to, like, you know, candidates saying, I can get the most financial aid from the U.S. This guy just doesn't have the connections.
Yeah, that's some crazy stuff.
Like, that could actually be a legitimate, like, campaign message in Israel.
Yeah, I feel like if, like, Netanyahu came out, like, even after all of this, like, corruption scandals, he came out, it's like, all right, if you vote for me, $100 billion, he'd win again.
Well, he just did win again.
Oh, yeah, I forgot, like, corruption is, like, actually, yeah, they probably would have corruption as a crime because it's against, it'd have to be against them in Israel.
Right, right, right. No, like, accepting a bribe is, like, a crime because you didn't give the bribe to the right person.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't, the real crime is, like, he got caught.
Oh, yeah. No.
He didn't take the bribe correctly.
Shaming the Jewish people and the Israeli nation is the largest crime of corruption. You know, it's not the fact that you did it. It's the fact that you got caught and you brought scrutiny to the Chosen.
The Chosenites. Yeah. Well, how is it in Aussieland with the right wing? Do they have the same thing in America where they...
Zionists.
They appeal to Israel.
It's not as, like, it's not as big as in America, but no, like, it's kind of, like, not really mentioned that much.
Mm.
Like, it'll That's come up sometimes, like, if, like, you get, like, the similar thing in America where there's, like, the far left or what they would say is far left candidate who's, like, going, like, free Palestine or something like that. Or if someone, like, makes a comment on Israel, then someone will come up. But I know there's some, like, I know, like, the far right people that are, or the, that's termed as the far right, they'll be, like, explicitly Zionist.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, like, one of our, it's, like, the bigger sort of, like, right-wing personalities is, like, a half, like, Australian-Israeli guy.
No, really? Oh,
gosh, man.
Yeah, he's, like, base Jew, I think he's, he's got, like, the...
Is it that one? Like, you'll have the
skull cap on and he'll talk about how we need to support Australia and its greatest allies. And they all have funny names.
That's true. Like, I've seen people retweet him or like his stuff. It's like some guy.
Probably.
He's holding like an Australian flag, but he's like wearing the Jewish garb. And you can see what is that called? Like the strings hanging from underneath his shirt. Yeah. And his
prayer shawl.
Yeah, his Twitter username has like the Australian flag next to the Israeli flag.
Oh my god. Speaking of Israeli ops in Australia, what's your take on Imam Tawhidi?
Is he the based Imam guy?
Yeah, he's the Shiite Imam. He's like, you know, all he does is like shit on Sunnis like night and day. It's funny because like I don't like Sunnis either. But I think he's also an Israeli op because he's like, he makes pro-Israel posts. And it's like,
oh, gosh.
So what about Shia is like, you know, says Israel is okay. Literally all these Sunni countries are the...
Aligned with Israel.
Aligned with Israel. And the like the biggest Shia country on the planet is like death to Israel. So where do you factor in?
Yeah, maybe he's been a gay op the whole time.
I wouldn't be surprised because it's like, you're from this... wealthy family, wealthy Persian family living in Australia, and all you do is shit on Sunnis and, like, you know, also praise Israel.
Yeah.
But, like, what's the deal here?
Yeah, it's just kind of weird. Like, when I first saw it, it was like, there's, like, I mean, there's obviously, like, something up with it. Like, no, you don't become the based Shiite imam, whatever.
Yeah, because he's literally an imam. It seems like he's being too cocky with regard to his religion. Like,
right, like, some posts that you see from him, it's like, is this guy an atheist?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, are you...
Because he's just, like, shitting on, like, what Sunnites, I guess, what they say about the Quran. It's like, bruh, don't you have the same book? This is just, like, a successionary difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very... That guy's interesting, to say the least.
Like, I know they have different hadith, but, you know, they ain't talking about hadith when he's, like, you know...
Quoting the Quran.
When he's, like, doing, like, the, you know, pedophile Muhammad shit or whatever.
Yeah, doesn't based Sunni live in Australia, the Syrian partisan girl?
Oh, right.
So.
I wonder what they would say to each other.
Yeah. That's some fun stuff.
You know what? I guess, disappointingly, at the end of the day, gotta go with based Sunni girl.
Yeah, but I do wish Australia was for the Aussies.
Yeah, no. Yeah, why don't we get that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like the real like thing that the both of the parties like they'll like suck up to Israel a little bit, but it's mostly like both of them like be going over for China. That's the like number one thing in Australia.
That's gotta suck ass having like China be the Israel of your country.
Oh gosh.
You know, because at least Israel is like totally dependent on us, whereas like, you know, China does not need Australia to continue, you know, existing.
Yeah, it used to be like we would just send them like a, because like Australia is like very like export, like raw product, like the economy is driven a lot by that. So we'd like send them a bunch of like coal or I don't know, wool, shit like that.
Send them the coal burners?
No, they don't have the coal burners in China, but we'll send them our coal burners.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I think at some point they discovered that it's much easier and cheaper if they just like buy our coal mines and like buy our farms and stuff. So there's a lot more what they term is like foreign investment and like Chinese investment into like they'll buy like ports or
I hate that. It's just it hurts worse than the normal globalization effects. Just like the idea that now this foreign country owns a majority stake in like your strategic resource industries is like that is like slavery. That is capitalist conquest.
But no, China's communist.
Yeah, well, you'll have like the right parties. If we sell stuff to China, we can use it to like pay off our debt, and we'll be in the positive. And with our money, we can use it to like give tax breaks, and that's all good stuff. And then the parties on the left, like, oh, we need a China. If you don't support what they're doing, then that's racism, and you can't have racism. So that like no one's like going against it, or even like
what a shitty paradigm. Like both of those premises. I like the idea of ending debt and, you know, having a lower need for a high tax burden. But the idea that it's racist not to, like, bend over to China? What the fuck?
Yeah, there's been university, like, there'll be, like, a talk or something like that where I think one of them was a dangerous ideas talk or, like, a thing where a bunch of people came in and talked about what they termed as dangerous ideas. And
yeah,
it was all like very like milquetoast. Nothing was big other than like there were some people who said they were communists and that's pretty dangerous, hey.
Oh, yeah.
But like they'll come in and like they'll someone mentions China and you can't talk about that, that's like racist. And or there'll be like the half Australian Chinese woman that comes in and talks about how great China's becoming and it's really industrializing and we need to invest in China and like they're going to become like the new superpower, so you should all be learning Mandarin and
God, that's just like, you know, the insistence on teaching Spanish to elementary schoolers here. I mean, that was already in place when I was in elementary school, but you know that they knew it was coming because they had that policy. I mean, why else would they have Spanish, of all languages, be the second language that they teach you in schools? It's because they knew it was going to come up with this whole thing of immigration. It was the plan all along. And it's evident by this educational policy. They want to use the pedagogy as a, I guess, sort of an investment in their policy agenda.
Rock to throw at your head because you used the term pedagogy.
Yeah, that's too many syllables.
It sounds
my
too,
bad, but you get what I mean, though.
No, I know. Yeah,
I ain't wrong.
Yeah, I like they didn't teach like any Chinese language at like when I was going through school, but I've seen a lot more like they'll start to bring it in as like an option, so you can learn like French or German or Mandarin.
I don't even have
something like that. Where that. Like before it'd be like Italian or something like that.
Man. Dude, Chinese is crazy to learn too, as far as I know. That's one weird language. It has like no grammar, apparently. That's why when they speak
like
English,
the Chinese grammar is like, you know, like the structures are just like weird. Because I mean, in order to learn it, you have to just memorize. It's like memorizing every single word, but like and not any of the letters.
Yeah,
there's like thousands and thousands like different symbols for each different word, and you just need to memorize all of them and how to like draw and recognize them.
You even have a special way, like you have to do the stroke down instead of doing the stroke upwards. It's weird. Or at least that's how it was when I was learning Japanese, which uses some Chinese characters.
Yeah.
Very weird language. I'm glad I don't speak
it. Yeah. I'm just like, shut the fuck up, ant person.
Hashawa. Pong Tao. Oh, yeah.
Ni hao, eat dog.
Yeah, are they going to start offering like dog meat at schools now?
It's like, you know, they offer halal options at your elementary school, but now they just straight up offer dog meat.
Yeah, I'll check like the back of the sausage roll. It's a product imported from China, made from 100% meat.
Yeah, I don't like to eat anything made in China. That's just, I just don't do it.
Why, you don't like those tasty lead paint chips?
Well, I've even been told by like many Chinese people themselves, like, don't eat anything from China. It's just gross. Like, I had a professor who was Chinese.
Yeah, they know better.
I had friends. It's like, dude, us Chinese people, we're bad. Don't eat our stuff.
Yeah. Well, one big thing that's like been happening a lot more is, you'd know about like the baby formula stuff that happened in China where there was like arsenic or lead or whatever in it.
Oh, God.
So now what they're doing is they're like raiding like the shopping centers and like the groceries here for all of our baby formula and then just like shipping it back home.
Wow.
So, really?
Like, we've got like signs in like the Coles and Woolworths, like our shopping centers, and
colors allowed.
No, it's like only one can of baby formula allowed per person.
Wow.
Like it, and
what the fuck?
The Chinese, they don't care about it. It's, oh, sorry, me no re English.
Yeah, I don't know how to read.
Like they'll have their card like completely full of like baby formula. Like there are stories where it's like they'll like take them from other people's carts and they're like, almost riots will happen because, you know, I need to get my like the baby formula here so I can they'll send it back to China and like sell it for like 10 times the price or whatever.
Jeez,
somebody needs to like go to China and like tell these people like, hey, you can produce milk from your tits, you know, you don't need this formula. Like, you can biologically produce it yourself. Like, God, what the hell is wrong with these people? Why do they need so much formula from other countries? Why
can't they just... in, like, I know, Beijing and, like, inhaling all their smog for so long, I wouldn't be surprised if, the breast milk just contains lead.
Got some lead tits there.
You're probably right.
Well, wasn't there a thing where they had, like, fetuses or something in, like, Korean makeup? I don't know. Something weird from China.
I don't know if they use, there's, like, the Korean foreskin.
Oh, okay. Not fetuses, but... Yeah, that's
some basically
weird stuff.
Fetus.
It's probably also fetuses.
Yeah, it's...
You know, why would they stop at foreskins when fetal tissue is just as, collagenic?
Yeah, well, you can't waste all that, like, proper, you know, good quality fetus tissue. You need to, you know, grind it up and put it in a skin cream.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like, what else are you going to do with that?
Yeah, you don't want to waste it.
If you ain't willing to eat it, you might as well put it on your face.
Yeah. I think Americans in general, because I think we're just very stupid with our food. We just eat, and we don't look at, like, where things are packaged or something. Like, if you go, like, see a can of tuna or something, sometimes they'll say, like, canned in China or from China. I'm like, dude, don't eat that. I always make sure if I get canned tuna, even if I have to spend more money, I'll get the nice Alaskan, what is that brand?
Wait, don't we get like tuna in America from Boston? Like from like the albacore tuna is like there's Boston caught.
Yeah, there's different ways. Well, sometimes it's packaged in China. Maybe they'll catch it in the U.S. and package it in China or some weird stuff.
Yeah, you get weird things where it's like Australian-grown tomatoes packaged in India.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, surely it would be cheaper.
Capitalism,
like,
weird,
it was
dude.
Grown here. Couldn't we just like also package it here? But it's somehow...
Yeah, why the hell
like,
is plastic like more expensive here than it is in India?
It's like cheaper to grow and then ship it off and then ship it, like package and then ship it back.
That's some weird stuff.
See, I know that
you don't need to pay like Rajesh. Like, you don't need to pay him like 3 cents a day.
I know that they do the opposite with like pasta, where they'll like grow wheat pasta here in the United States. They'll like ship the wheat to Italy, where they'll box it and sell it back to the United States as a finished product. But that's because it's a good markup, not because it's cheaper.
Mm, yeah, there's some weird stuff that goes on with with the food nowadays.
Yeah, thanks, Zog.
Yeah, Zog food.
Oh, it's cheaper. Don't you want your food to be cheap?
Yeah, dude.
Save money.
You'll prevent starvation. You don't want to be like those Soviets, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to wait in line for bread. You can just
you can just buy it and then wait in line at the cash register.
You can get bread like delivered to your house where it's.
You don't even have to go. You don't have to leave your house.
Just tap these buttons on your phone and you don't even need to see anyone. You get your bread delivered by drone to your shoebox apartment and your.
What? How's Amazon drone going? Have they started to let those go out or. Okay, so it's currently in development because I haven't seen any, but that is some.
Yeah,
weird
I think
stuff.
They've done some like test flights or whatever. Like, I know I saw some
Valley
like
or something.
Some tweets out from some bug people in the Silicon Valley where it's like it's not drones, but it'll be like little like driving around, like kind
robots?
Of. I know. Also, yeah, robots where they just like I don't know if they were delivering Amazon stuff or whatever, but
I feel like bad for people that have to live in Silicon Valley because they have to deal with the bug men, but also like the prototypes, you know, going around, like all these drones flying, maybe they'll fall on their house or Google cars running around.
Just delivers a pile of like horse manure to your house accidentally. I think that's what I'll do when they have the Amazon drones and robots now. I'll just like, I'll order manure to my neighbor's houses. So then you have this little robot packed with shit just driving up to your doorstep.
Imagine ordering like a based book and getting it dropped from an Amazon drone, like the Kaczynski book from.
Oh my god, the irony!
I know.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, by the point that the drones come out, they just banned all the based books anyway.
Yeah.
Industrial society and its consequences delivered by drone.
Oh, they have eBay drones too? What?
Oh, you think this drone market is a monopoly? No, we got competition.
Oh,
on the drone
no,
market.
This is to buy drones on eBay.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, that's. How long ago was that when they showcased the Amazon drone? That was a few years ago, right? That 2013, was it? Oh, 2016.
Man, it's stuff you knew always existed. Just they wouldn't admit.
I gotta admit, when I was younger, I was like waiting for this stuff to happen. Like, yeah, that's
all right, because like you know, when you're younger, like a little kid, it's like, hey,
I want
you're
toys
just consumer. Because like you know, we're raised to be consumers.
I want my Dragon Ball Z figure to come not in 10 days like it used to in 2003, but in one day. Or no, 5 hours.
Yeah, remember when like infomercials or like commercials on TV say allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery?
Oh my gosh.
Dude, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I know. I'm still kind of used to that because everything takes so long to ship to Australia. Like, there's some stuff that it'll be quick, but I'm still living in the. If it comes in like 2 weeks, all right, that's pretty fast.
Jeez.
I didn't even consider that, but yeah, I guess it does take a long time for like other shit to get to you.
Yeah. Or I think Amazon Australia opened up either this year or like late last year. So I can officially get my, I can order some Soylent to come in.
Exactly.
Instant Soylent.
Yeah.
I want my
Amazon
Soylent
Prime
drone.
Delivered.
What if a drone delivered another drone?
We're quickly heading to that reality. It is like rapid onset, you know, drones all the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh. What you could do, like, I don't know, mess it up, you just deliver drones into, I don't know, like Chicago or Baltimore or something. Yeah. Like, they're not coming back.
Yeah.
See something shiny rolling down the road. So, shit.
What that thing? That robot must have some things. Hey, y'all, robot. Y'all, watch out. What you doing here? This ain't your hood.
You know, what if they have, like, their robots painted blue in, like, a blood zone? And, like, everyone just starts shooting at it.
Hey, yo, man, even the robots be against us now.
Hey, yo, bitch, you came up with the wrong colors, my nigga. Yeah, eat this gat, nigga. Blah, blah.
Blacks in their onomatopoeia.
Blah, blah. Yeah, they're the true, like, warrior poets of that time.
That's just their war cries.
Oh, herpes outbreak or spike at Coachella.
Please enlighten us.
Well, then, but there's some that say it. Okay, there's two conflicting. The Metro UK says there's a huge spike in herpes cases during Coachella, but some other recent articles are saying, no, it's fake. But I wouldn't be surprised.
Fake news.
So what is the Metro? Is that like a right-leaning paper or something?
I don't know. It looks gay.
I don't think so. I feel like every article I've read from the Metro is just like same globo homo bullshit. Just like the Daily Mail.
Okay, here's this. In the Coachella Valley, L.A., Orange, and San Diego area, they dealt with 1,105 cases since day one on the festival.
Jeez,
man.
When was day one?
Don't know.
Coachella.
What a waste that place is. It's so expensive for horrible bands. So glad that I never was in
Coachella.
That.
This year began on April 12th and ended on the 21st. That is a long ass festival.
Holy whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty long for. I thought that all overdosed by then.
Yeah, 9 days of music. That's crazy.
Well, the only reason they go into a music festival is just to take drugs. Just take, like, I don't know, take their drugs.
Exactly.
Fans are selling grass from Kanye's Coachella Sunday service.
What?
Yeah.
Did he,
can I get my Kanye grass delivered by drone?
Sold under names like Holy Grass and Spiritual Grass. Baggies of the clippings of vegetation are going from anywhere from $8 to a heart-stopping $405.
Jesus. Kanye's become order dogs.
He has?
I don't think so, but, you know, his wife, Kim Kardashian's Armenian, so she's Orthodox.
Are Armenians Orthodox, or they have their own weird thing?
Yeah, they're Orthodox. I mean, it's technically not in communion with Constantinople because they're Miaphysites, but...
Yeah, well, I know what that means, totally.
You can look it up. I'm not going to explain Miaphysitism to you. That's going to take too long.
Well, I don't think Noel would like it because on Wikipedia it says the Armenian Apostolic Church is part of Oriental Orthodoxy.
So Oriental Orthodox is different from Eastern Orthodox.
Oriental. And it's like Chinese.
Yeah, I just can't. Yeah, the only Oriental I want is like my Oriental flavored noodles.
Well, technically, Constantinople agrees with you. But, you know, I'm not the kind of person who feels any need to, like, signal against the Oriental Orthodox Church. Because, like, I don't really care about Miaphysitism. I don't see it as, like, as disgustingly heretical as I suppose it once was, but...
What is this?
There's better things to argue about.
Exactly.
Like, which cross that you make with your fingers, whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's never been a reason for heresy, but that's just been more like a tradition that's... been separate between the Catholics and the Orthodox, but no, I only joke about Kanye become Orthodox.
Yeah, so he's doing this Sunday service thing. I've seen links to videos, but I don't even know what it is. Is it literal like preaching, or is it just music?
I think he did a gospel show at Coachella.
Oh, okay. And now they're selling the grass.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like I've seen like these pictures of Kim and Kanye like. Having their children baptized in Armenia and just like seeing Kanye West in an Armenian Orthodox church. just standing there like, literally has nothing, like no idea what's going on because it's all in Armenian.
You're like, man, what's this cursive writing everywhere?
I can't even read this. Your handwriting sucks.
That's funny, imagining him in Armenia. Like, I never would have thought that Kanye West would ever be in Armenia.
Kanye West visits the Armenian Genocide Memorial.
Gosh, man. I wonder what the Armenians think about the kids. Probably not too happy.
I think it's like a ambivalent but mostly unhappy situation because obviously like people in Armenia don't want like mixed race people, yeah, but it's just like you know, to them, it's just like, oh, the American celebrities will do what they will. And like, you know, we like Kim. We don't like Kanye. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, we'll like Kim's kids because they're Kim's kids, not because they're Kim and Kanye's kids.
Cool Kim kids.
Kim's yes, KKK.
Yeah. Yeah, the Armenians, man.
But as a comparison, I looked up Burning Man for 2019, and Burning Man begins on August 25th and ends on September 2nd.
Woo.
Put in some investments into the herpes drug companies.
Yeah.
I had some friends of mine who went to Burning Man, and they literally go just to network. Like, because they're in computer science and, like, computer engineering and all that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
How much computer science networking can you do at Burning Man?
A fuck ton.
It's a lot of rich, crazy...
That's where, like, all the Silicon Valley, like, you know, tech millionaires go to hang out.
Yeah.
And, like, you can literally go there for, like, legitimate business prospects because, you know, somebody who's, like, Mark Zuckerberg tier will be there, you know, dropping acid. And, you know, if you happen to be in the same tent as him as the same time as he's tripping out, it could mean you get a job.
Jeez.
And, like, that's the absolute state of Burning of Man. American, like, you know, industry.
Gosh, Burning Man.
Yeah, asking, how did you get this position, like, such a high position at this, you know, this tech job? I ran into some guy taking drugs in a tent.
Yeah, Burning Man. I went to Burning Man. That's how. And, like, he like, was willing to, like, miss class and, like, fall behind in his schoolwork. He was, like, a real studious guy. He wasn't, like, wasn't going to Burning Man because he was, like, a degenerate. He just legitimately knew that he could have, like, networking prospects that were worth his time and money by going to Burning Man. Yeah. It's kind of pathetic, really. I mean, like, these people are rich as fuck. They're doing, like, important work in computer science industry. And then, you know, their idea of a good time is, let me just go do a fuck ton of drugs in the desert.
Like, orgies and stuff. It's a lot of AIDS going on there, probably.
I'm sure.
Yeah. When you're rich enough, it's like, I don't know, there's, like, nothing else that you could do other than just go and take drugs.
Yeah.
So nothing else is giving you enough enjoyment, so I'm just going to go into the desert and, like, get AIDS and take acid.
Maybe find a job.
Yeah, and find a job.
It's very pagan, though, because they're, like, burning stuff, you know? They're, like, worshiping.
Oosh. Them. Oosh. What if we could just have, like, burning Juden? Like, Brent Juden? Where we just have a giant effigy of Judas.
Well, yeah, like in Poland.
The Poles have tried that. They did that recently.
I think we should change Burning Man to something like that. In the
sneak in and, like, graft, like, a wooden nose onto it.
Yeah, in the ethno state, Burning Man is just going to become Brentjuden.
Gosh. I'm so glad that I've never wanted to go to Burning Man. I don't know what kind
of... Yeah, I've never, like... None of my friends are, like... No, they'd say, oh, the new music festival come with me, and I've never really wanted to go myself, so...
Yeah,
when I was, like, a little kid, before I understood what, like, happened at music festivals, I thought the idea was pretty cool.
No, they're literally, like, orgies.
The only times I, like, wanted to go to a music festival is, like, oh, yeah, I like this guy's music. I want to go see him play.
But that, yes. For most people, that's not the reason why they're there. It's to do drugs. Like, even in the 80s, and, like, I've heard stories, like, for my parents, like, when they went, they were, like, shocked about what went on at music festivals. It's like, oh, I'm here to see The Clash or whatever. And it's like, oh, they're, like, people just having sex everywhere, and it's just gross.
Dude, what would a Clash concert be like now?
Old niggas.
Old niggas, probably. Old niggas and, like, Antifa LARPers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not taking, like, you know, random pills or whatever. They're taking, you know, like, their heart medication. Xanax.
Yeah.
Xanax for the young people, the LARPers, and heart meds for the old people.
Well, I wasn't The Clash. They were, like, the first Antifa LARPers, really, weren't they? Like,
I mean, they were kind of, like, into it. In the sense that, like, you could be, like, you know, a legitimate, like, somebody who's studied it. Because I remember reading this article about the band members and, like, you know, just, like, the place where they would practice all the time was filled with, like, the different volumes of Marxist magazine. Mm-hmm. And that was like back in the day, and they were like, you know, legit OG, you know, commie punks.
Yeah, but then they became famous and like sold out to.
Yeah, they like became the definition of sellout.
Yeah, and it's like, huh, maybe these people don't have principles. Because he did that whole Sandinista thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Rock the Casbah, but wasn't that about Jews and stuff?
I don't know. That was about some people in the Middle East. I never bothered to look into what that song's about. I just like the beat.
Yeah, I know, like, I'll listen to that. It's like, what's a Casbah? I don't know. I just like the music. I'll listen to that. not gonna bother looking up things. I came here to listen to music, not to learn.
I got a cassette here next to me, and it's from The Clash, and I got Combat Rock.
Combat 18 Rock.
Yeah, Combat 18 Rock.
Yeah, that might be a little bit of a different kind of.
Combat rock against communism.
Well, I know. Well, actually, Clash, they were like one of the first bands to perform, I think, at Rock Against Racism.
Oh.
And I think that's where Rock Against Communism comes for. It's a play on words of Rock Against Racism. Or just.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. It was like a parody of it. Yeah. But like. It was the response, the right wing hijack, let's say. It was like the first meme hijack.
Yeah, that's funny. We've been memeing forever.
Right. So like Rock Against Racism was just like, hey, here's something that leftists are doing. Fuck these people. We're gonna do the Rock Against Communism. And we're gonna have a screwdriver headline or whatever.
The concert featured The Clash, Steel Pulse, Tom Robinson Band. Isn't that wait, what?
Tommy Robinson Band?
Tom Robinson Band are a British rock band established in 1976 by singer and bassist Tom Robinson.
Well, how old is Tommy Robinson?
Tommy Robinson was like, when is he born? Like 1980, the one that we're referencing.
Oh, okay.
Are you thinking that Tommy Robinson was around in the 70s?
No, I'm just wondering if like he was born like when this band was formed. That would be an interesting coincidence.
It was named after the band.
Yeah. So apparently the impetus for this was when, let's see what it says. Oops, let's go back to Rock Against Racism article. Damn it. When, what's the guy? Eric Clapton did the racist little speech he had.
Wait,
he had a
what?
Little speech. When it was, so there was one time when Eric Clapton, like before or after a show, he praised Enoch Powell. For his Rivers of Blood speech.
See, I've always liked Eric Clapton, but I thought you were saying like he did a speech at the Rock Against Racism.
No. Let me see if I could find quotes from that speech. Eric Clapton white splains his racism. He even had a black girlfriend. Let's see. Okay. I don't want you here in the room or in my country. Clapton declared. Listen to me, man. I think we should vote for Enoch Powell. Enoch's our man. I think Enoch's right. I think we should send them all back. Stop Britain from becoming a black colony. Get the foreigners out. Get the wogs out. Get the coons out. Keep Britain white. I used to be into dope. Now I'm into racism. It's much heavier, man.
Wow. How have I never heard this?
Fucking wogs, man. Fucking Saudis taking over London. Bastard wogs. Britain is becoming overcrowded.
Look, I take issue to being lumped in with Saudis in the wog term.
Britain is becoming overcrowded and Enoch will stop it and send them all back. The black wogs and coons and Arabs and fucking Jamaicans and fucking don't belong here. We don't want them here. This is England. This is a white country. You don't want any black wogs and coons living here. Hey, so I guess there's room for white wogs.
Yeah, at least I get to stay. at least Eric isn't going to kick me out.
We need to make clear to them what they are not welcome. Oh, wait, what? We need to make clear to them that they are not welcome. England is for white people, man. We are a white country. I don't want fucking wogs living next to me with their standards. This is Great Britain, a white country.
Damn. I really hope he ain't talking about my people and only talking about Saudis, like he said. It's like, shit!
That's some funny
Eric,
stuff.
Eric's like, you know, he ain't a fan of the souvlaki.
Hey, he got a dodgy souvlaki once and, like,
get these fucking niggers out.
Walks.
Consider the Greeks white once they can cook his gyros correctly.
Yeah, when they're not all like raw. Yeah, Nikkei gets very upset when I say gyros, or that's how I pronounce them most of my life, is gyros, like the game. Apparently,
yeah, I thought that's like how you're supposed to pronounce it, but then
some wog was like, no, it's gyro.
Yeah, like you pronounce it like, you go, oh, can I get one gyro, please? And just like look at you and like, oh, did I say something wrong? And then like, what? You do that like too many times and they just yell.
Yeah, that's crazy. Them wogs with their weird names for food. Yeah, like, what music did you listen to growing up, or do you listen to? Were you ever into like punk rock?
Not really. Oh, okay. I know most of the music, like a lot of the time the music I listened to was just like whatever was on the radio. Like I'd just be like stuff on like, you know, like in the car radio or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Like I never really like got a full music collection. Like I didn't buy CDs. I'd be given some for like birthdays and
yeah,
things like that. So it was a lot like when I was, you know, by the age where I was like actually like had a, like, I don't know, like a minimum wage job and I could buy stuff, I'd be getting like the CDs I get at like, you know, like what we consider now like crap electronica music.
Okay. Yeah. My first CD that someone bought me for Christmas was the soundtrack to the Grinch Stole Christmas, like the 2001 remake or something like
An absolute banger there.
Yeah, that was like absolute fire. Yeah, that was one weird movie. I didn't like seeing the Grinch turned into live action because it needs to stay in that cartoon world. It's weird because like they did the crazy makeup on the actors, like they made their noses all look like they're drawn by Dr. Seuss, and it was not fun. Very creepy.
Yeah, it just looked like it was very Uncanny Valley. It was like everyone looked weird.
Oh, and Jim Carrey played the Grinch, right?
Yeah.
He's the one that, you know, likes to draw nowadays and share his images online. He likes to draw like gore of Mussolini, like from Old Grinch or something.
Oh yeah, Mr. Carrey.
Yeah, because we're talking about the Grinch Stole Christmas movie, and that turned to Jim Carrey and his weird art.
Yes, he's just like got an interesting fascination with death. I wonder what his old girlfriend might have to say about that. Oh, if she were still alive.
Yeah, didn't he like bully side at one of his 22-year-old girlfriends
after he like infected her with multiple diseases, STDs, and like got her hooked on drugs or something? You know, I all of these are allegations. I can't confirm any of these things, but you know. It's kind of weird why this particular guy makes all these images and, you know, has all these rumors floated about him. Kind of strange, if you ask me.
It really makes you think.
It does make me think.
He's a dual citizen of U.S. and Canada. Don't trust
those
duels.
The eternal leaf.
Yeah.
All is clear now. It's the product of the leaf.
Was he born in Canada?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he was raised in Canada as well.
What city? Is he a Torontonian?
He's from Newmarket, Ontario, Canada.
Basically one Toronto of the fake and gay suburbs.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing about Toronto is like it's a planned city and all of its suburbs are fake and gay.
I know nothing about Toronto or Canada.
Toronto is like a case study in like city planning and urban development. Because it's like the like model for planned cities. So like if you look at it, all of its streets design, you know, is very methodical, intentional. And if you look at the suburbs of Toronto, the same sort of intentionality is reflected there. Unlike America, which has organic cities in towns for the most part.
Yeah, there are some planned ones. I think
since the 80s there's been some new planned towns, but before the 80s most places were organic.
Yeah. Organic like
thanks
that.
Reagan.
Yeah, but Reagan was he was you know, based right wing president, wasn't he? It was you know, he was stopping the communists and
yeah, because that was all that good threat. Stuff.
I actually had this. I had a conversation with some rando woman today about that. You know, I guess she might have heard me over saying something about Nixon, and she's like, "Oh, you love Nixon?
you know, and I'm like, oh yeah, I do. I do like Nixon. He's a good guy. He was a good president. And she's like, ah, you don't really hear many people today talking about Nixon and, you know, appreciating his presidency. And she's like, do you like Reagan? Like, what do you think about Ronald Reagan? Are you like hashtag RIP Reagan? And I'm like, yeah, no, not really. And she's like, well, what do you mean? Like, didn't Nixon ride the Reagan wave? And I like had to explain to her that like Reagan came after Nixon. I guess it was, she was just some conservative grill.
Is she young or old or what?
She looked about my age, maybe a little bit older.
Because I'm like, someone's 50-year-old saying hashtag.
She's like a millennial. She's a millennial.
She probably just like Shapiro.
Yeah, if I had brought up Ben Shapiro, she'd probably be like, oh my god, I love his videos. They're like so funny. He's very smart. Well, so. I had mostly kept the conversation on Nixon. Just because like it took me like a long time just get it across to her that Nixon was president before Reagan was.
Oh, really?
Like she was insistent on it.
Couldn't you just like look it up and like show her the list of presidents and that one of them comes after the other?
But you're trying to get with this.
I was more trying to explain like why I like Nixon, not the fact that, you know, history happened the way that it did. But more like, here's reasons why Nixon was a good guy and better than what they might say. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, I get that. It's like, well, it was nice talking to you.
You got that number, fam.
I wasn't interested.
Okay.
I was like in the middle of doing something. You know, she was just more like asking me like what I was doing, where I was, and you know, stuff like that. It was just like I had to. I guess it was the inner autiste in me. Like I had to like explain like why the fuck are you this dumb?
Yeah.
Like
you
no,
couldn't just do like the backhand shut up woman.
I couldn't. I had to be like, no, Reagan did not come before Nixon. What are you talking about? Like how are you this dense?
Wait, what? Wait, okay. So there's a new Sonic the Hedgehog film?
Yeah.
How did you not know about furry Sonic?
I don't know, and it's starring Jim Carrey, but it says it's written by Patrick Casey.
Wait, what?
Patrick Casey is an American writer and actor and author.
Oh my god. Please, do go on.
Yeah, it's just a coincidence in names. I guess Irish people, the same names.
Oh, that's... Come on. It's a coincidence. Double down, bro.
Okay.
This is Patrick Casey. He's written the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Starring Ben Schwartz as Sonic the Hedgehog.
What?
That's funny.
Man.
Wait, so is this like popular? Like, am I supposed to know about this new Sonic movie?
I only saw it because it's like furry Sonic. It's like gonna be like three-dimensional.
It's like, well, I know that it's live action, but it's definitely like 3D animated, like,
and it's not like
photorealistic Sonic.
Yeah, like, it's not like gonna be 3D animated like the Sonic Adventure. Like Sonic Adventures 2 game. It's going to be like 3D animated, like the Hobbit remake.
Yeah, they've like modeled like his hair.
Like you can see it as fur instead of just like a sharp
shape. Okay. Yeah, that's going to get the furries a little excited there.
Like normally Sonic is just like got smooth but sharp pointed like, you know, fur in his, what you would call fur.
Yeah, I don't think anything's ever
fine, but now he's got literal hair. It looks like
nothing's ever like shown off his like hair on it or like that. I used to assume that it's spikes because that he would have spikes.
The hedgehog.
Yeah.
I miss when Chan
thinks this.
Don't you miss when Brad used to play Sonic?
I do miss when Brad played Sonic during the show.
He wouldn't even like talk, and then he would just hear like
you just hear rings,
catching rings.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to like, you know, I'll open a like Sonic Mania on the computer and just play it in the background, some nostalgia music.
Just yeah. Like, yeah, if you can find a YouTube video, it's like 10 hours of Sonic the Hedgehog gameplay.
Sonic collecting ring, 10 hour ASMR.
Bling, bling.
That'd be excellent. That would bring back all of the good memories.
So he must have been like listening to it full blast when he was recording, because we could hear it.
Yes! Not like even not... through headphones either, that nigga. God damn it.
Professional recording setup. You gotta record your Sonic Adventure 2.
You should do like a direct stream of it. Just have it in the background.
Yeah, it was multitasking. You gotta record the podcast and also record your like your record your Let's Plays.
Oh, yeah. Man, I do make
it. Second mic up and talking to his Twitch stream.
I did like Sonic on the Genesis. That stuff was great. I wish I miss when games were simple. I don't play games anymore. They're all like about...
They're too complicated.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like $70 to buy a game and to like buy a new graphics card every 6 months. It's like, come on.
Yeah, I haven't like bought a game in a long while. I've got like 500 something in my Steam account, but it's all just like random like crap I bought like 4 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I think the last game I bought was Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Nice.
Yeah, so who would win? Me, but like, you know, this, you know, all of these games I haven't played yet, or another like 10 hours of CSGO.
Yeah.
It's go time again. Can I read about another article to you guys?
Sure. And I think we could close after that.
Sure. I think it's a good closer, actually. From WRCBTV.com, Tennessee may soon have hands-free laws drivers say could help end distracted driving. Tennessee is close to being the newest state to adopt the hands-free law, which prohibits any cell phone use while driving. One local resident says, quote, I would hesitate to do that on any major roads because I know that everybody, including myself, is texting while they're driving. And all it takes is one little drift off the side of the road and you've killed a cyclist, Michael Boswell said. According to a study done by Value Penguin, Tennessee ranks number one in the United States in distracted driving deaths. Matthew Heimbach works in Georgia, a state which has had a hands-free law for more than a year. He is shocked Tennessee doesn't have a hands-free law yet. Quote, when it comes to public safety, distracted driving is one of the biggest dangers that any of us face here in this community. As a father of two, I know when I grab my kids in the car, I don't put their lives at risk because someone has decided they want to update their Instagram, Heimbach said. And this is a real article posted on the 19th of April, 2019. And they have the picture they include with the article shows the interview they had with this Georgian driver, Matthew Heimbach. and in this interview, he's wearing a shirt that says "We want Mosley" and has a picture of Oswald Mosley on the t-shirt.
See, when you read this to me, I'm like, oh, this must be just like a coincidence in names. It's not actually Matthew Heimbach, but
nope, it's him. And it's so good too. The image that they use. The article is down now, unfortunately, because I guess. They got pushback, but just like the still image of this that they used is hilarious because it looks like you know, kind of like bad hiding look because he's got a hat and sunglasses on.
Yeah,
because like you never see Heimbach with like sunglasses on, so it looks like he's just trying to hide his identity. But then he's wearing an Oswald Mosley shirt, and then
he couldn't decide whether to go incognito or to show off. So
yeah,
giving his real name and like list his profession listed as Georgia driver.
That'd be a fun job.
Yeah.
That's
so what do you think? Hands-free laws, are they a good idea or are they bad? You know, let's talk about the article. Should Tennessee adopt this hands-free law?
I just want to protect our kids.
I think that's a great idea. I'm all for it. I don't need to look in my phone while I'm driving. I can have somebody else in the driver's seat.
Yeah, have your wife do it or something.
Yeah, have the GF do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do actually. I get very angry when I see people that text and drive.
Yeah.
So I just assumed it was like already part of your laws. I suppose you got like the different state stuff, but here it's all like they've been advertising a lot more about don't text and drive, don't call and drive. If your phone does anything and you touch it, then and we see you, then it's big fines and big arrests.
So you can get pulled over for using your phone while driving.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It depends mostly on the states, I think. Right.
See, I think they have a law like that in my state, but I don't think they really enforce it too much.
Yeah, because my state has that law, but no one, I see texting and driving all the time.
Because I think like it's just like an enhancer if you do get pulled over. So like if a cop has a reason to pull you over, and like
I see.
They also notice that you had your phone on in your hand at the same time, they'll like give you another ticket. It's the same way they like do it with like with seatbelt laws. So, like if you're driving the car and you're not wearing a seatbelt, like obviously they can't tell from afar. But if they pull you over and you don't have your seatbelt on,
they could get you.
They're gonna like give you the seatbelt enhancements to your ticket.
Yeah, that's why you gotta follow them rules.
Follow them rules. Be a safe driver, like Matthew Heimbach.
Yeah,
Tennessee. You know, person in Tennessee, Georgia driver, Matthew Heimbach. I think this guy's onto something.
Yeah.
He's got some good ideas about the law.
Yeah.
What if he's got some other good ideas about other things?
You know, he seems like a smart guy, very regular, down-to-earth kind of person. So, you know, who knows? But for now, he's just a Georgia driver interviewed in Tennessee.
Well, guys, I think it's time to end it.
All right.
Like to thank you, Nikkei, for coming on, and Newell.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been good.